You shall turn to the Word of God in the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and we shall read from verse 10 to the end of the chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, from verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And with the Lord's help, we want to consider the second half of verse 11. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. The church glories in Christ her beloved, and in him there is nothing to repel, nothing to drive the believer away, but everything in him to attract, to draw the believer to Christ. Christ is always pleasing in the view that believers have of him. He is, as the church says at the end of this chapter, altogether lovely. And the church is saying here in our text that his locks are bushy and black as a raven. Bushy locks of hair are a sign of youth. And black hair also is evidence of youthful strength. Gray, of course, is a sign of getting old and decay, but these locks are bushy and black as a raven. So we have here a symbol of youth, a symbol of strength, and a symbol of beauty. So in Christ there is an eternal youthfulness. The Lord Jesus Christ does not grow old. His strength does not weaken, and his beauty does not fade. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And it is with wonderful, new-like freshness that Christ will always attract the believer, always be beautiful to the eye of faith, and his loveliness will always draw the believer, because Christ remains eternally youthful and strong and full of glory and beauty. And so we will try to take up these three themes and consider, first of all, the youthfulness of Christ. The youthfulness of Christ. And secondly, the strength of Christ. The strength of Christ. And thirdly, the beauty of Christ, the beauty of Christ, and how we should pray for eyes, spiritual eyes, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his holy temple. Pray that we would confide in him, that one who never grows old and who will always remain strong for us and draw us and win us and give us eternal spiritual satisfaction. First of all, the youthfulness of Christ. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. The scriptures use symbols to describe the excellence of Christ. And here we have many symbols, symbolism or emblems of the glory and loveliness of Christ. And last time we considered the headship of Christ. His head is as the most fine gold. We considered the headship of Christ as to his divine nature, his mediatorial office as the king over all things, the head over all things to the church, and his headship as he is the life of the church. His head is as the most fine gold. There is substance in his kingship and headship. There is glory and brilliance and splendor in his kingdom. As he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his head is as the most fine gold. And now we see the locks of his head in this picture. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. The locks being bushy and black are a picture of youth. The hair is bushy, not thin, but thick and bushy and full. And it's the very opposite of the hair of old people, which often becomes thin. The young, not the old, but the young, they have a full head of hair. So these bushy locks of hair are a sign of youth. And it's the same with the color black. The hair of old people turns gray and white, but here it is dark black hair of young people. In Scripture, the word black is actually used for to describe youth. It's actually used and translated youth in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10. So we read there in that book of the Bible, childhood and youth are vanity. And the word youth there in Ecclesiastes 11:10 is the very same word that is translated black in our text. So black suggests the dawn of youth. And there in Ecclesiastes 11, youth is vanity. Well, that's because the youth are so often chasing after vain ways and going the path of vanity instead of the path of godliness. That's why youth is so often vain. And the Word of God tells us that rather we should remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Yes, remember your God who made you and God who offers salvation to you. Remember him when you're young, children and young people. Remember him now in the days of your youth. Give your best to the Lord, and your youth, from that point of view, is your best. Give your strength in your younger days to the Lord. So the color black very obviously suggests youth or youthfulness. And the locks of hair being bushy and black point to the opposite of someone who is old and frail. Here, what is being spoken of is the youthful vigor of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved of his people, his manly strength. He is strong. He is full of might for his people. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. And of course, he is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, white and red. And the white describes the Lord Jesus Christ's divinity. Perhaps even more specifically, his eternity. And as we read about the Ancient of Days in Daniel's vision, who had white hair, John's vision of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 presents the Savior with white hair. So Christ indeed is eternal. He's from everlasting, as the Ancient of Days. But he is also too everlasting. Being God, he is eternal and he is immutable. He does not change. He is ever blessed. And one way to describe eternity is that eternity is one permanent state. Eternity and unchangeableness are linked together. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not grow old. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. And yet, there was a time when the Creator became an inhabitant of this world and had a created human nature. He who is the Ancient of Days became the Infant of Days. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read about this. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So the one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, from a past eternity, is the one who will come forth out of Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary and laid in a manger. So he who is God was clothed in our nature. The eternal God became man. God manifest in the flesh. And a little infant, the babe Jesus, laid in a manger. And so you think about his literal youth in his humanity. He grew up as a child, subject to his earthly parents. And we find him in the temple at the age of 12 years. He must be about his father's business. And yet we read after that that he was subject to his earthly parents. Jesus, the child Jesus, was keeping all the commandments of God, including the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Jesus, we read, increased in wisdom and stature. He was growing up. This young man, Jesus, well, he was 30 years of age when he entered into his public ministry. And so he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil and preaching the kingdom of God. Now, some people in his day thought that perhaps he was nearly 50 years old. They were saying, you're not yet even 50. Well, he looked 20 years older than he was. And why is that? No doubt it was because being in a sinful world, in this evil environment in which he was, tended to wear upon his physical frame. But the fact was, he was a younger man. His locks were bushy and black as a raven, in a sense, literally. And he was in the prime of life when he died. And that is part of the wonder that Jesus was born to die. He did not grow old and then die. He laid down his life in his early manhood. The man Christ Jesus gave himself for our sins. He laid down his youthful life, and his precious blood was shed. His hair was filled with not only the dew in the garden, but with the blood of his sacrifice upon the cross, when he was giving his body and blood, his soul, his all, as a sacrifice for sin to satisfy divine justice and to purchase the salvation of his people and reconcile sinners to God. What think ye of Christ? His hair is, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. Later on, or earlier on, I should say, in this chapter, the beloved of his people is calling to his people and saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Isn't it sad that these precious locks of Christ can be filled with dew because his people are not receiving him, and he is knocking at the door of their hearts? Oh, these precious locks of Christ, his loveliness, his beauty, his youthfulness should attract, and they do attract the believer when the believer's eyes are open more than they have been perhaps, and when they're shaken out of their spiritual slumber, Let us pray that we would be attracted to the youthfulness of Christ. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Well, after dying on the cross, when his precious blood was shed and his soul made an offering for sin, satisfying the justice of God as well as the law of God, he was laid in the tomb, and after 3 days, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he ever lives at the right hand of God. He is the object of the worship of angels, the object of the worship of the church triumphant in heaven, and he is the object of the worship of God's people, the church on earth here below, and he will be forever. Because he is eternal, he is youthful. Jesus is an eternal priest after the order of Melchizedek, without beginning of days or end of life. And when you think about the merit of his sacrifice, his blood was shed 2,000 years ago, but the merit of his precious blood is as fresh to us in its merit, available to us as if it were newly shed on the cross. Because his locks are bushy and black as a raven, the eternal youthfulness of Christ ensures that his precious blood is of eternal merit to us today, because Jesus does not grow old. He is continually young in the estimation of his people and in the merit of his precious blood for them. God's people will not feel Christ to be old. He does not become old in their admiration of him. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. The Lord Jesus Christ has youthful freshness in their eyes, in their view of him. They look on him as the fresh object of admiration. Unlike other things, other objects become old. Everything in this world becomes old. The heavens will wax old like a garment, as the psalmist declares in Psalm 102. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. I am the one who is who has a short life, getting old. But thy years, O God, they are throughout all generations. The Lord does not grow old. Even though God is called the Ancient of Days, he's not old. He's from eternity. Verse 25, the psalmist speaks about the foundation of the earth and the heavens. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish. These heavens will perish. God will take the heavens above, the sky, the galaxies, and like a cloth, fold it up and set it aside. Yes, the whole earth and the heavens are getting older and older. And remember what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 8, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And the world as we know it will vanish. It will be consumed in the fire of the great conflagration. But Christ will endure. Thy years shall not have an end. Thy years shall have no end. Christ will never wax old and vanish. His locks are bushy and black as a raven, the eternal youthfulness of Christ. So unlike the places that we go to which become old to us, parents know how their children ask them, are we going to the same park again? That place that was so attractive at first, it becomes old to them and old to us. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, will never get old. The things that we do, they become old. We get bored with them. But the things of Christ are ever new and wonderful. Are they not, child of God? People become old, and in general, they They slow down, perhaps they mellow, for better or for worse. They're not as lively as before. But the Lord Jesus will never get old, never mellow in his love and zeal for his people. Older people perhaps lose their quickness. They're not as sharp-sighted before. It was said of President Ronald Reagan, an old president in those days, that when he was escaped an attempted assassination, that he lost his quickness as a result of that. But that will never happen with the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved of his people. They go to him who never grows old, who is as keen in his interest and knowledge of them as ever he was. They go to him who is omniscient and eternally youthful. James Durham points out that a lovely person is loveliest in the flower of age and youth. So Christ's perfections are ever in their flower. Yes, Jesus' qualities are ever in blossom. His love, his grace, his care for his people is never shrinking back, never folding up, but always in blossom. What love Christ has to his people, which never declines. With Christ, there is no declension, no getting old. When we see our loved ones get older, we often become sad. We see the gray hairs come upon them. We know that they're not going to be with us forever. But with Christ, there is no occasion for becoming sad because of old age. No, the Lord Jesus is eternally youthful. There's no need for a sad feeling arising or the never having the fear of Christ departing from us. With our parents, those who still have parents, they know that day will come. When my father and my mother forsake me, the psalmist says, then the Lord will take me up. They are somewhat prepared because they have grace. They know that the Lord is their guardian, the one who cares for them forever. But with Christ himself, it cannot ever be said of him that he will depart from them. No, he will abide with his people forever. He will never leave them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Jesus, because of his eternal youthfulness, makes all things new. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He himself is alive forevermore. This one, of whom it is said, his locks are bushy and black as a raven, this man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, who laid down his life and took it up again, is eternally youthful and has said, because I live, ye shall live also. And being eternally youthful, he is unchangeably strong. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. This takes us to the second head, and that is the strength of Christ. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Now, this bushy and black hair symbolize youth and vigor, strength. Here's a picture of the vibrancy of life. Those who are younger, they're more lively. Those who are younger are usually stronger. The old are weak, the younger strong. Here is what is said of Christ. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. It is obviously his youthfulness, and being youthful, he is full of strength, strong for his people. Of course, when it comes to the human level, we are to respect the old and the elderly. And these symbols, they have their usefulness to a point. When we think about youthfulness, yes, there's the vanity of youthfulness. When we talk about, but it's not only vanity, it doesn't need to be vanity. The young are to follow their Creator in their youth. And when it comes to the old, well, being old as a sign, it often means frailty and decline, but it also commands respect. And so we're to respect those who have gray hair. And we are to learn from the elderly, the godly of the elderly. They're stronger, not in physical strength, but they're stronger in wisdom. So we should seek their counsel from those who are advanced in years. That's our duty. It's utterly wrong for the young people to say, well, that's the past, that's old-fashioned, and we are the people, wisdom will die with us. We're to learn from those who have gone before us, and we're to follow the old paths, following the footsteps of the flock, and be thankful for their experience and learn from them. And yet, youth remains a sign of strength. We think of a strong young man who is a soldier entering upon the battlefield, ready to go out and win the battle. And it's young men who are sent to the war because they do have the strength and the stamina. And John the Apostle wrote to the young men, at least they were young men spiritually. He says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. So he wrote to the fathers, but he also writes to the young men. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Can this be said of the young men in our congregation? You have overcome the wicked one. Well, it can't be said of you until you have a new heart, until you're born again. In that sense, you have overcome. The weakest believer has overcome the wicked one when he or she is born again. And we're to go on overcoming, resisting the sinful tendencies within us and denying self. Again, as I said last time, that's not just denying ourselves certain things. We're to deny self, renounce self. Self must step aside. Christ must be first in our hearts and lives. That is how we overcome the wicked one, because the devil is saying, you are number one. The devil is saying, get what you want. You need to do what pleases you. That's the world's mentality. And back of that is Satan's aim to get people to do what pleases them. But of course, it just leads them on that broad way to destruction. But God's people are to be strong and quit themselves like men, following their captain. They are soldiers of the cross, and Jesus is the captain of their salvation, and he himself is stronger than the strong man armed. And he is able to defeat all his enemies and all the enemies of his people. What encouragement we have to look to Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. That's what Jesus does. He is going forth, traveling in might and strength, glorious in the greatness of his strength. He says, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, mighty to save. He is strong. And the locks that are bushy and black as a raven indicate his strength. He will overcome because he is strong in power. So believers have no need to fear. Never need to fear that his strength will decline because his locks are bushy and black as a raven. He's eternally youthful, eternally strong. He will never grow old. His locks are bushy and black, and it remains that way in the vigor of his strength. His power continues. He came in the flesh 2,000 years ago, and he hasn't changed. He always existed in a past eternity. He goes on, the Ancient of Days, Infant of Days, young manhood, dying on the cross, rising again, and he sits on the throne of God. He ever lives to make intercession for all those who come to God by him. His strength remains firm. What an encouragement to our faith. Christ is always able to help his people. You, child of God, have been struggling with your burden. And then you realize suddenly, my beloved is able to help me because his locks are bushy and black as a raven. He is strong, forever strong. Why don't I seek his help and aid? Perhaps we all have childhood memories and experiences. At least we can relate to it, maybe deep in our subconsciousness, but we can relate to a time when we were very small and we were struggling to pick up something and probably dragging it on the floor, and then our parent comes along, dad comes along, and he picks it up with his might, and we're standing back amazed. How did he do that? Oh, because he's strong, and Jesus Christ is strong, and he comes for our help. He has a mighty arm. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. And how we're amazed at his mighty strength, doing for us what we could not do, opening doors we thought were locked up, working on our behalf, doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. But then as a child gets older and more thoughtful, and it happens sooner than we realize, the little child realizes that father and mother won't be with him or her forever. They will not always be strong. Some children can remember their dad telling them, I can do this now for you, but the day is coming when I'm going to be weak and you're going to be doing this work. And it leaves a deep impression upon them. But while that sadness rises up when we see our parents grow frail, there's no occasion for sadness when it comes to the strength of Christ, because he is omnipotent. Jesus does not decline. He is able to do all things, and he will continue to do all things, so that he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he accomplishes his purpose for us. He will not fail, and he will not fail us. As David assured Solomon when he was directed to build the temple, David tells him, do not fear nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. What keeps the child of God going? What keeps the minister, the elder, the deacon going in their work and Sabbath school teacher? It's because the Lord will not fail his people. That is what gives them strength and motivation to continue. God will not fail his people. Christ will not fail the believer because his locks are bushy and black as a raven, eternally youthful, eternally vigorous and strong for his people, so that they can cry to God continually, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. And so this will continue. His strength will continue firm, vigorous, full of life, vibrancy. As long as we are in this world, he will strengthen his people because of his unchanging strength. What strength Caleb had, even though he was an old man, after they crossed the river, conquered many cities, Caleb comes to Joshua, and he's claiming the territory that was promised him 40 years back. And Caleb says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. That seems to be a miracle. A man who is about 80 years old says he's as strong at 80 as he was 40, or perhaps he was 85 at this time. But if that's the case for a mere man, how much more for the God-man, the one who is eternally the same, eternally youthful and strong. Christ remains strong in the vigor of his unchanging office towards his people as prophet, priest, and king, and so that his people call to him, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Jesus will experience the wonder of his own power in gathering the nations by his might, going forth conquering and to conquer, as a young, strong man going out at the breaking of day. What do we read in Psalm 19, verse 5? Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. And he will do so to win his bride and carry the church safely home. That's what Jesus does, being perpetually youthful and strong for his people, bringing them to be with himself in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And because he is eternally youthful and strong, Christ has an unchanging beauty. In the third place, the beauty of Christ. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Have you seen a raven? Very, very black. And this color of blackness is compared to a raven because black is the raven's beauty. It's the natural native color of this bird. The blackness of other things are a mark against them, like the blackness of soot on a chimney, not a pleasant sight. To quote a Bible dictionary, the raven's most conspicuous feature is its glossy, black, iridescent plumage. This is a sign of beauty. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. So the locks of hair are black as a raven's feathers are black, a sign of youth as well as beauty. What is old and decays often loses its beauty, but in Christ there is a continual youth and beauty. Beauty is not a bad thing. It's people who abuse good things. The scriptures are not against beauty. The Bible refers to people who were fair as Sarah, Rebecca, and David, of a pleasing appearance. No doubt David's beautiful countenance as a type of Christ is a picture of the beautiful countenance of Christ, not physically, but spiritually. You see, beauty can be an occasion of sin when we trust in it or are proud of it. It becomes an occasion of sin when it's not just appreciated, but idolized and adored, when it's lusted after. But the Lord is compared to one who is of a beautiful countenance, and his locks are bushy and black as a raven, a sign of beauty in the spiritual eyes of God's people. And again, that's spiritual beauty, because we do read in Isaiah 53 that when he comes, there is no beauty. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But that is because they saw him only with earthly eyes. They saw one who was greatly burdened and oppressed by the sense of the evil around him, the great work that he had to do, the discouragement of people not embracing his message, the good news of salvation. But God's people have their eyes opened. They are spiritually enlightened. And that is why they see that he is fair and lovely. They're attracted to him, while others have their eyes closed. They're blind. They have not been enlightened by the work of the Holy Spirit. And Satan, too, is blinding them. Satan is called the god of this world, blinding the minds of them that believe not. And he is directing their attention to the fair things of earth. These are the things that dazzle them, that please them and attract them. And they have no time for Christ because they don't see his loveliness. If this describes you, well, friend, you need your eyes opened. You need to be spiritually enlightened to see the glory and beauty of the Lord and be drawn to him. Yes, God's people, they have been spiritually illuminated, enlightened. Their eyes are open to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And they admire what they see. Yes, he is pleasing to look upon spiritually. They perceive his beauty, and their hearts go out to what they perceive to be lovely. That is evidence of grace. That is evidence of a new heart. If you are pleased with what you see in Christ, and your heart goes out to Jesus, your heart goes to what you perceive as lovely, and you're drawn away from sin to Christ, you're a child of God, you're born again, a true believer in Christ, and you're attracted to his glory and beauty, and you appreciate that the things of earth are vanity in the sense that they are fading away. The glory of man is as a flower that shrivels up, fades away, and dies. Whatever people admire most upon earth is going to become pale and unattractive and turn to dust. Looks are deceiving. We must look beyond looks and look to Christ, who is eternally admirable and attractive. All other beloveds are decaying beloveds. All others that compete for our affection, they are old, they're declining, they're losing their attraction. All things, hobbies, persons, places, everything that attracts us here is going to lose their appeal, become old and gray-headed spiritually. But Christ is eternally youthful, and he is youthful in his attraction, and he retains his loveliness and beauty. Yes, people here upon earth, they are lovely. But what is more lovely as the years go by is their spiritual character, their godliness, and that is what is attractive. Even when they are frail and dying of cancer, when there's nothing to behold but a sight that repels us, believers, true believers, are attractive in their grace and beauty and loveliness like Christ. But people are so attractive to the outward. There was King Saul, head and shoulders above others. But what did he turn out to be? A disobedient, rebellious man. And later on, before Saul died, Samuel was sent to anoint a new king. And even Samuel the prophet, he sees the firstborn and he says, surely this is the Lord's anointed. God says, don't look at the height of his stature. Don't look at the loveliness of his countenance. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And the Lord's people, they look beyond the evils of this world and all the calamities to Christ upon the throne, and they see the loveliness of Christ which attracts them. There was Absalom, a very handsome man. From head to toe, there was no blemish. He attracted all the people of the land, but then he rebelled against his father, and he brought Israel to a civil war. And at last, he began to flee as a coward, and what a pitiable spectacle, what a pitiable sight to see him hanging on an oak tree and thrust through with darts. What a tragic end to this young man, but Christ and his people will never truly suffer a tragedy. Christ remains youthful in his loveliness and beauty. And God's people will always say, thou art fairer than the children of men. There is no blemish in thee, Lord. Durham says that the church is saying, My beloved is the golden beloved. His head is as the most fine gold. Others are but of clay and earth. My beloved is in his flower and youth. Other beloveds are decaying, waxing old, and drawing to their grave. Therefore, he is incomparable beyond them all. Thou hast a spiritual youthfulness and beauty, which will never decline, never end. Even though some thought it would, some were worried that the glory of Christ had come to an end. The two on the road to Emmaus, they said, we had thought that he was the one who should have redeemed Israel. They were worried it all come to nothing, but they were wrong. Their beloved was walking right next to them the whole time. And Jesus explains to them all things concerning himself, that he ought to have suffered and died and enter into his glory. And there he remains in the summer of life. And this can never be said of any other beloved, that his locks are bushy and black as a raven. It can never be said that they remain eternally youthful. But Christ is the Son of Righteousness, and his sun never goes down. He comes for his people with healing in his wings, and soon all their idols will be erased from their lives forever. As James Durham writes again, oh, the happiness, the eternal happiness that there is in being espoused to Christ, married to Christ, when the breath of all clay idols and beloveds will be out, they'll be dead, and Christ still fresh in the communicating of his fullness to his people. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Bless thee with a kingdom. Bless thee with a numerous offspring. Jesus is blessed with his own youth. He has the dew of his youth, as we read in Psalm 110. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the great high priest. He is the king. He is the prophet. And he has a people to serve him. In Psalm 110 and verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Christ has an eternal youth, and he has a seed who are his youth. They are his people. They are his young ones, his own. Yes, they are like the drops of dew on the field. They are numerous. They are sparkling. They are fresh with life and beauty, his own dear people. Whatever their age, whatever their race, whatever their background, whatever their sin in the past, they sparkle like dew on the field. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. He will have them. He will have his youth. He will have his converts. He will have his people forever. And he will say, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And remember, we've referred to Psalm 102, that the heavens wax old as a garment, and they shall be put away. But thy years, O God, have no end. And the psalmist goes on to say, the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. God's people, the children of Christ, they will continue forever. One generation after another, and all these generations, yes, they die physically, but they remain forever alive spiritually, and they enter into heaven one generation after another. As one day of the morning appears after another, thou hast the dew of thy youth from the womb of the morning, one generation after another coming to Christ. Is this a generation that seeks thy face, O Jacob? Are we seeking the Lord? Is this generation, this group of young people, this congregation, can it be said of us, thou hast the dew of thy youth? Well, be united to Christ, and you will be among the dew of his youth. Call to him, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The Holy Spirit strives with you. Do not stifle the striving of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus knocks at the door of your heart. Do not refuse entry. the Lord Jesus has the arrows of conviction, and pray that those arrows will be striking at your own heart to bring you down in his manly strength. Be won over to him. He is thy Lord. Worship thou him. It will be a sad day, friend, if all that your heart is set upon here on earth, and that is all that your heart has, is taken away from you. These things are gone forever. On the judgment day, they will be. At death, they will be. And it will leave you empty. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing to give you satisfaction. Bare bones, nothing at all. Empty shell. That's you. Without a new heart. Without Christ taking up residence in your soul. Now is the time to have your heart won over. Won over to Jesus Christ. Cry to him. Pray without ceasing. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And lay hold of eternal life. Jesus Christ in his eternal youthfulness is a tree of life. Tree of life. So that if you pluck the fruit from this tree and you eat of it, you will live forever. You'll never get old. Never die. Although we know that everything in this world is not permanent, our physical strength leaves us, our beauty declines, but the new man remains strong. That is a comfort to true believers, for which cause we faint not, Paul says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So if we look to Jesus Christ, eternally youthful, his locks are bushy and black as a raven, if we look to him and receive strength from him by feeding upon him as the bread of life for our souls, then we will find our strength renewed. We will regain our strength. We will be rejuvenated because God has promised those who feed upon him, those who look to him, their youth shall be renewed as the eagles. And even though young people fall and strong soldiers die in battlefields, spiritually God's people will go on. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, because their captain is Jesus. And because his locks are bushy and black as a raven, he will make us like him, spiritually strong, young, beautiful in his sight, on the resurrection morning, and spiritually even today on his Sabbath day, he will beautify the meek with salvation. Even when on the outside we're growing old and gray-headed, yet he preserves his people to show his strength to this generation. And so, friends, we know our duty. We know what it is. It's to behold him. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look to him. You will be like him. You will be transformed into the same image. As he was meek and lowly, so you will be. As he was lovely and attractive in his grace and holiness, so will you and I too. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, grace like his grace. Christ is never sick. Christ is never frail. He's never weak. He's never old. And his youthfulness will be yours. His strength will be yours. His beauty will be your beauty, just as his locks are bushy and black as a raven. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, enable us to profit from thy holy word. Oh, that we would lay these things to heart. We would be attracted. We would be drawn. We would be strengthened, motivated, and and invigorated by the strength of Christ and his eternal youthfulness, and having a seed gathered up to him and united to him, O Lord, may we be among his children, that he would say of us, Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Oh, that we would be drawn to Christ and never satisfied in our souls until we know that we have been won over, that he is our Lord, and we worship him. Receive us graciously. Forgive our sins. Help us to keep thy day holy. For Jesus' sake, amen.